Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 20. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 20. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbour, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honour, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. Our reading will be from verse 16 through 23. Deuteronomy 6, verse 16 through 23. Once you've found your place, if you're able to, with any ease, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it this morning. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16 through 23. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. And Lord, we surely do need your help this morning. I ask you to help me. Lord, we pray for that fresh unction and fresh anointing from heaven to be able to preach your word. And Lord, how we pray that the Holy Ghost of God would have free course to speak to each and every soul. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be honored and glorified and Christ to be magnified in it all. Lord, help us, we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to draw your attention, please, to verse 23. Notice what it says. I'll read the whole verse and then I'll show you my text, my thought for this morning. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. I want you to notice the statement here that I put together. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out to bring us in. Now in context here, the nation of Israel is getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And Moses is, Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. And here, as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, it's going over the history of what the nation of Israel has been through and some reminding them of the promises that God's going to do for them in the future. And all those things are set out before the nation of Israel here. And Moses is speaking to them. And we see here in this passage of Scripture that Moses is reminding the people of God that God brought them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt. He brought them out of that particular place to bring them to another place. And we know because of their unbelief and rebellion and disobedience and all those things that they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They could have gone straight in. But because of their unbelief in God, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they could go in. But the point is here, the title of my message is, He brought us out to bring us in. And God brought them out of Egypt. He delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt to bring them into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And, you know, a lot of times when we think of our salvation, we concentrate on a lot of what He brought us out of. It's sort of the negative aspect of salvation. He saved me from this. He saved me from that. He saved me out of this. But the reality is, God didn't just save us out of some things. He saved us into some things as well, just like He did the nation of Israel. And I'm glad that as I look back at the nation of Israel, I can see that God saved them out of that bondage in Egypt. And they were slaves down there in Egypt for some 400 years, but God didn't just save them out of Egypt and then just leave them be. God had a purpose for them. He saved them out of Egypt to bring them into a promised land called Canaan. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And when out of that verse there, Hebrews 2, 3, I want you to notice that phrase, "how great salvation." And the salvation that God wrought in the nation of Israel was a great salvation. It was an incredible salvation. It was a miraculous salvation. But you've got to acknowledge as well this morning that when God saved you, it was a great salvation. It's a miraculous thing that takes place. It's not just some decision you make in your mind or some decision you make in your heart. And it's a miracle when God converts a soul from darkness to light. It's just as big a miracle today when a soul is saved by the grace of God as it was when he wrought all those miracles back there in the land of Egypt and delivered Israel out of that captivity. It's a miracle. It takes God enacting a miracle to save a soul. It doesn't come down to you making some decision. It comes down to God performing a miracle in your life. And it is a great salvation, isn't it? Another verse for you by way of introduction is 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." 2 Corinthians 13, 5 makes the statement, "in the faith." Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. When God saved you out of sin, He saved you into faith. I'm glad that I can examine myself this morning and know that some 20 years ago, I was transported into the faith. I'm glad that when God saved my soul, He put me in the faith. And I'm asking you this morning to examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith. He brought us out to bring us in. I got four things this morning on the thought of our salvation, our great salvation. And there's four aspects that I want to bring out this morning in regards to our salvation. Four aspects. Number one, and the main focus is the last one. So I'm rushing through the first three to focus on the last one, okay? Number one, what we're saved out of. The nation Israel was saved out of Egypt. They were delivered out of bondage. They were delivered out of servitude. They were delivered out of cruelty. They were delivered out from underneath the dominion of a cruel dictator down there in Egypt. And what we're saved out of, brethren, number one, I'm saved out of death. Thank God. When God saved me, He transported me from death to life. And when He saved you, He took you from a place of death to life. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." When God saves us, He saves us out of death. Not only death, but He saves us out of darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, when God saved your soul, when God saved me about 21 years ago, I had been in darkness for about 22 years. I'd walked in darkness. But when God saved me, He saved me out of that darkness and put me over in that marvelous light. And when God saved your soul, He saved you out of darkness and He puts you into His marvelous light. I'm glad that this morning I'm no longer in darkness, stumbling around at spiritual things, but I'm glad that I have spiritual light and I can see. Not only did He save me out of death and darkness, but He saved me from damnation. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I was under the damnation of God for 22 years of my life. And if you're lost this morning, you sit this morning, right now, in the pew that you sit in, you sit under the damnation of God. The damnation of God rests upon you because of your unbelief and your rebellion and your stubbornness and unwillingness to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God saves a soul, the wonderful thing is, He delivers us out from underneath that damnation. That damnation is lifted off of me. I'm saved out of that damnation and I'm set in a place of justification. That's a good thing, isn't it? Aren't you glad of the things that you've been saved out of?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Israel, when they crossed over the Red Sea and they got the other side there in Exodus chapter 15 and they sang that Jubilee song. Remember that in Exodus chapter 15? You know what they were singing about? They were singing about what they'd been saved from, not what they'd been saved unto. But they were just glad what God saved them out of. You know, we ought to be glad and we ought to remember. We ought not forget where God found us and what He saved us out of. Not only did He save us out of death, darkness, damnation, but dominion. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. For 22 years of my life, I was under the dominion of sin. Sin ruled my life. I couldn't help but sin. Sin was the sovereign in my life. And if you're lost this morning, sin is on the throne in your life. But when God saves a soul, you see what He does? He delivers him or her out from underneath the dominion of sin. Don't have to sin anymore. You know, that's what's messed up in our day. Oh, we're under grace, not under the law. Yeah, you're under grace, so you don't have to sin. You're not under grace to sin. You've been set free from the dominion of sin. You're no longer in bondage to sin. You no longer have to sin. Been set free from sin. What a wonderful thing. So I'm glad, number one, what I've been saved out of. And don't you think the nation of Israel were glad of what they got saved out of? No longer having to make bricks. No longer to have to search for straw. No longer being whipped because they didn't have enough bricks made. All those things, they've been delivered out of that cruel bondage that they've been under for some 400 years. And if you get saved later in life, what a blessing it is, isn't it? After you've been in the bondage of sin for so long, and God sets you free. God sets you free. And we got two couples got saved in their 60s here. We've got Brother Bill and Sister Maureen, Brother Kim and Sister Debbie. All of them got saved later in life. But praise God, what a liberty to be set free after being under the dominion of sin for 60-something years. Praise God, it was bad enough being under the dominion of sin for 22 years. But praise God, when God saves you, He sets you free. He saves you out of the dominion of sin. Number two, I want you to notice what we're saved by. Two things here. Praise God, the grace of God. That's all it is. That's all Israel was saved by, the grace of God. They were saved by the good grace of God. They found grace. They found favor in the. Was there something special about Israel? There was nothing special about Israel. God just chose to pour His love and affection out upon them. There's nothing special about you. You're just saved by the unmerited favor of God. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Praise God, we're saved by the unmerited favor of God. Not of works. Not of works. You cannot save yourself by doing better. You cannot save yourself by giving more to charity. You cannot save yourself by being a nicer person. We are just saved by the good grace of God. If you're saved this morning, not only were you saved out of some things, but you were saved by some marvellous things. And the marvellous thing that you and I are saved by is the grace of God. There is absolutely no reason for God to look upon you and show you any favour outside of looking through the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing what Christ has done for you and he's saving your soul just out of sheer goodness. Goodness, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Number two, we're not only saved by the grace of God, but we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you're saved here this morning, it's because there was blood shed for your soul on the cross of Calvary, and you placed your faith in that blood that was shed for your sin. Do you know how Egypt, the nation Israel were delivered? They were delivered by the blood of a lamb during the Passover. If they hadn't placed any faith in that blood, if they hadn't killed that lamb and put their faith in the blood that they put upon the lintel and the doorposts and then hid themselves under that blood as the death angel passed through, they'd have all the oldest in that family would have died. But they found refuge, they found redemption under the blood of the lamb. And I'm telling you this morning, the only way to be saved today is by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's by grace, through faith, and through the power that's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So only the power of the blood of Jesus can wash you from your sin. Now, as you know, I used to work on cattle stations, and I've dehorned thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cattle. And I have come out after a day's work in the yards, covered from head to toe in blood, clothes stiff with congealed blood, and blood in my hair, blood in my eyes, blood all over my face. You know, the thing about blood is it doesn't make you clean. You cut yourself, you get blood on you. It doesn't make you cleaner. You get blood on a piece of clothing. It stains it. But you know the miraculous thing about the blood of Jesus? Oh, that fountain that's drawn from Emmanuel's vein, when a sinner is plunged, he's plunged into that blood of Jesus and he comes out as white as snow. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And I'm glad when I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and I placed my faith in that blood, I didn't come out covered in blood, I come out white as snow. Saved. Saved out of some things, saved by some things, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and saved by the good grace of God. Thirdly, what we're saved for. What we're saved for. Well, number one, to save others. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life and he that winneth souls is wise. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 4:19, he saith unto them, follow me and I'll make ye fishers of men. You know why God saved you and God saved me? He saved us that we might be a lighthouse. He saved us that we might point others to Jesus. He saved us that we might rescue other sinners. I'm glad for the preacher that was, I'm glad Brother Al was preaching that Wednesday night when I heard the gospel. I'm glad for that couple that gave Isaac that gospel tract and caused him to consider his salvation. Aren't you glad for the Christians that God has saved previous to you that have been faithful in fulfilling their role of being a witness? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Well, if someone was faithful enough and unashamed enough to witness so you might be saved, don't you think you ought to be unashamed enough and bold enough to witness so others might be saved? Wouldn't it be good to be able to get to heaven and say, well, I finally met the one that gave me that gospel tract. Well, you know, you really annoyed me that night on the street on Friday night. But you know what that happened? You know what happened after you got through annoying me and telling me about Jesus? I went home and I couldn't sleep. You know, those sort of things happen, you know, and we're going to find out about that in heaven. Praise God. We are saved to be a witness. We're saved to save others. Not only save others, but serve others. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Isn't that good? Not in the bondage of sin, we're called unto liberty. Praise the Lord for that. Called unto liberty. Only, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. You know, we're supposed to be witnessing and saving the lost, seeking to save the lost. That's what we're supposed to be doing with the lost community. We ought to be seeking to save the lost. But within our church family and around the fellowship of the Christians, you know what you're supposed to be doing? Serving one another. I'm supposed to serve you. You're supposed to serve me. Now, that's what we like the best, when other people are serving me, right? But the reality is we're supposed to be serving others. God saved you to save others, to serve others. But this is the main point I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, to worship, to praise and glorify God. Paul said to the church at Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 12, he said that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You know, God saved us that we might bring him honor and glory and praise. And I wonder, are you doing that in your life as a Christian? God saved you. What did he save you for? Well, he saved you to save others, to serve others, and to bring him glory, honor, and praise. The way you live your life, the way you conduct yourself, do you come to church ready to magnify Jesus? Do you come ready to glorify God? Do you come ready to praise his holy name? Or do you come with your teeth grit, ready just to put up with the brethren one more time and get through another service? Folks, I understand it can get that way sometimes in church as we're a close family, but that's not how we ought to be coming to church. We ought to be coming to church ready to worship God and glorify him and praise him for what he saved us out of, and for how he saved us and what he saved us with, his grace and his blood. And lastly this morning, and this is where I want to focus in, I've got a few points here, what we're saved into. Remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." And I'm saying to you this morning that as God saved the nation Israel out of Egypt, he saved them out of some things, he saved them by some things, he saved them for some things, but he saved them into some things. And he's done that likewise for you and me. And I want to draw your attention these last few minutes to what God has saved us into. And I said at the beginning, we focus a lot on what he saved us out of, but let us just take a little bit of time and let's just focus in on what he saved us into. Because you're not sitting in some vacuum. You're not sitting in some void when God saves you. He saved you out of this and into this. Number one, into his light. When God saved me, he saved me into his marvelous light. I've already made mention of this when he saved us out of darkness. But aren't you glad when he saved you out of darkness, he didn't leave you in some vacant place, but he put you in his marvelous light. What's that mean? Well, the verse is the same verse as up there in darkness, 1 Peter 2:9, "Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Before I was saved, before I was born again, before I was made alive spiritually, I could read the Bible. I'd had a Bible since I was little. After Dad died and we packed up the block and sold the block and things out there at Wandai, I found some of my old Bibles from when I was a little kid in storage. And so I got my old Bibles in my office there. And I won't get sidetracked on that. I found some of my notes. Pretty special, let me tell you. Anyway, won't get distracted on that. But what I'm glad is I grew up for 22 years. I had access to a Bible. I could read a Bible. I grew up reading a Bible. It didn't mean anything to me. Didn't get anything out of it. This natural man didn't receive any of that. But I'm glad when God birthed me in you and he set me in his light, I can read the scriptures and the light's been turned on. That's what that means. And the Holy Spirit starts communing with the Holy Spirit that's indwelling me. The light's been, God's brought you out of darkness, out of spiritual darkness, into spiritual light. What a wonderful place to be. To be alive spiritually, but to be in spiritual light. To be able to read my Bible and understand spiritual things. To be able to sit under preaching and listen to the preacher preach and the Holy Spirit speak to me through the scriptures and God give me some light on some things that I'm struggling with. Or God speak to me about something that I need to adjust in my life. Aren't you glad this morning but that we've been saved out of darkness, but that we've been saved into His marvellous light? Aren't you glad for the light that you've had? Surely that's something to worship God for and to praise Him for the light that you have on a daily basis as you approach His Word. We're no longer in darkness, tripping over all the nonsense of life, but thank God we can walk in the light as children of light. We're saved into His light. Secondly, saved into His book. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it. What that it is the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Luke 10 and verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, for the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. When God saved me, He saved me out of the world. He saved me out of sin. Saved me out of damnation. Saved me out of darkness. Saved me out of death. Saved me out of destruction. Saved me out of all those things. And He saved me into His light, but He also saved me into His book. When God saved me some 21 years ago, thank God my name was written in the Lamb's book of life. I've been saved into a literal book. Well, surely you're intelligent enough not to think there's an actual literal book. Come on, think about it. How big do you think that is to contain all the names of all the souls that have ever been saved? Well, how big do you think God is? I mean, I'm pretty sure God can have a book with everybody's name written in it. Don't you think? Let me ask you this morning, is your name, I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not asking you, have you prayed a prayer? I'm asking you this morning, have you been saved out of some things into some things? There's a lot of people say they've been saved out of some things, but they don't have any light. That's concerning. You say you've been saved, do you have spiritual light? Has the scriptures been illuminated to you? I remember listening to my wife's testimony. She got saved when she was about 15. And when she shares a testimony, she talks about the fact that when God saved her and she goes to a certain passage of scripture where the Lord first spoke to her from the scripture, she grew up in a preacher's home, grew up as a missionary's kid, grew up, you talk about, you know, daily devotions in the McClure household was more like Bible college than, Bible Institute, Bible college. I mean, she grew up reading the Bible, memorizing scriptures, but when God saved the soul, all of a sudden the light had been turned on the scriptures and the Holy Ghost spoke to her through the Bible. Has that happened to you? Praise God, I'm glad I've been saved into the light, but I'm glad I got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Aren't you? You see, we're saved out of some things, but we're saved into some things. I got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, my name's written down. It doesn't matter who the Prime Minister is, doesn't matter who the Premier is, it doesn't matter what China does, it doesn't matter what Iran do, it's all irrelevant. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come what may, God's got it in control. I mean, we can get distracted on an awful lot of nonsense these days. There's an awful lot out there to take your mind away from what God's done for you and get you distracted on a whole lot of nonsense that is of absolutely no eternal value at all. It's doing you no good spiritually, but if you just get your eyes on what God saved you out of, what He saved you into, that'll help you rejoice a little bit. Saved into the book of life. You know, when He saved me into the light, He saved me into His book. But you know what happened? When He put me in the book, He put me in His family as well. Saved into the family of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, that's some love, isn't it? Some of you, I wouldn't call you my child. I wouldn't own you. Right? You wouldn't own me, some of you, right? Isn't that right? You know, we would. We'll just be acquaintances. Right? But God, knowing exactly who you were and everything that you are, He saved you out of all that He saved you out of, and He saved you, praise God, into His family. Isn't that good? Amen. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, come on, you know who you are. We come with our King James Bible and we come with our Sunday best on, we polish it all up, but you know who you are. You know who we are. We, the sons of God. Notice what verse 2 says. Beloved, now. You're to highlight, bold, underline, whatever, that word now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. He said, now are we the son. You haven't always been a son of God. You haven't always been in the family of God. For 22 years, I wasn't in the family of God, but thank the Lord, for the last 21 years, I've been in the family of God. Isn't it good to be in the family of God? No better place to be. You know, the Highland name in certain circles doesn't have a good name. In other circles, it has a good name. But you know, there's no better name to have than the family of God's name. And I'm glad that when God saved me, He adopted me into His family. You know, when someone goes to an adoption agency, they don't go looking for the dirtiest, ugliest, meanest little kid in there. Generally speaking, when someone goes to an adoption agency, they're looking for the cutest, the prettiest, the pleasantest, nicest little baby in there. Do you know when God come looking for you, He got the dirtiest, the rottenest, the filthiest, and adopted you into His family. Praise God. That's just grace, brethren. Just grace. Saved me into His family. Well, when I got saved into the family and become a son of God, He saved me into His inheritance. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, I've tried to meditate on this a little while from time to time over the years, but I cannot for the life of me get my head around it. Has anyone ever got their head around it? Have you ever stopped and tried to take some time? Take some time to just still your mind, still your heart, and meditate on the fact that you are going to inherit everything that Jesus Christ inherits. Mind-boggling. Number one, why would God allow me the privilege to inherit everything that belongs to His Son? Number two, it's mind-boggling to even think what all the Lord Jesus is going to inherit, that I too am going to inherit. You know, you oughtn't worry too much about earthly inheritance if you're saved and in your family of God. Man, that's a better inheritance than you could ever come across. Well, what's your super looking like? Really don't care. My inheritance is looking pretty good anyway. Well, how's your retirement nest egg? Well, to be honest with you, I don't have one. But my inheritance is looking pretty good anyway. Right? Isn't that good? Do you understand what we've been saved into? I mean, that's some things that we ought to be mindful of on a daily basis and be rejoicing about. It doesn't matter if the bank account's empty, the inheritance is looking good. I'm not talking about being foolish with your money. I'm not talking about being not being a good steward. We need to be a good steward. I understand all that. I'm saying our focus, we need to be careful that we adjust our focus properly. And we focus in on some things that God has saved us into. He saved us into his inheritance. I like this one. He saved me into his hand. Into his hand. His hand. Psalm 95 and verse 7. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You know, when God saved you, he put you in his hand. New Testament verse, John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, some of my favorite passages of scripture. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When God saved me, he saved me into his hand. You know what that talks of? That speaks of preservation, eternal security. I'm eternally secure because I've been saved out of all that I got saved out of into the very hand of God. Do you realize that this morning? Do you realize that if you're saved by the good grace of God, you're actually in the hand of God? What a wonderful picture. That pictures him as a shepherd with the sheep of his hand. Oh, what a wonderful thing to finally be saved and to come into a relationship with the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. Been saved into his hand. How about this one? Saved into his choir. Now, I've never been allowed in a choir yet, for obvious reasons. But I'm glad I got saved into a heavenly choir. Psalm 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Isaiah 12, 2, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. Psalm 95 and verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise. Well, you say, well, I can't sing. Well, I can't sing either. You can join my choir. We'll make a choir. It'll be a bit scratchy. It'll be a bit rough around the edges. It won't be very polished at all. And we may not sing in tune. And it might be just as rough as rough. But I tell you what we can do. We can make a joyful noise. You know why I can make a joyful noise? Because God's my song. I've been saved into his choir. He's put a song in my heart. If you've been saved, God's put a song in your heart. Now, you can go through some things and that song gets kind of distant. Drifts off in the horizon because of everything this life throws at you. And the song kind of dies off. But what you need to do, what I need to do in times like that, I need to draw back close to God. I need to remember where he saved me out of. I need to remember what he saved me by. I need to remember what he saved me for. And I need to meditate and reflect on what he saved me into. You know, if I take some time and meditate upon what he saved me into and what all God's done for me, that song will come back. That song will come back. You get that song back. Psalm 95 and verse 1, I said, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You say, well, I'm just a bit, you know, when I first got saved, I tried to sing. And, well, I couldn't sing. And then I got a bit embarrassed. And so then I didn't sing much and didn't lift my voice much. But then, you know, I got the point, I just didn't care. And you know, you might hear me singing, but I don't care if you hear me. It does not bother me one little bit if you hear me singing. Now it might bother you. But it doesn't bother me though. It doesn't bother me one little bit. Not at all. Why? Because I'm happy to make a joyful noise. But maybe you can't get to that place just yet. So I'll point you to Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, you may not be able to sing. You may be a little bit too bashful to make a joyful noise, but we can all have a melody in our heart. And I'm thankful. When God saved me, He saved me into His choir to sing praises, to sing melodies, to sing hymns of praise and rejoicing to Him. You know, as a lost person, I listened to all sorts of ridiculous music. Ridiculous. It was a very unusual mix of heavy metal and country music. I like both genres. Bizarre, isn't it? But anyway, that's where it was. Everything from John Williamson to Guns N' Roses. That's a mess. But you know, that doesn't appeal to me anymore, because God's put a different song in my heart. And that stuff comes on the radio, I don't have any appetite, any desire to listen to it. I'm quite happy to turn that off and put my hymns on and listen to my hymns and just sing along and let a melody sing in my heart, because God saved me into His choir. Isn't that good? Then He saved me into the heavenlies. He saved me into His choir and He saved me into the heavenlies. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2 and 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, when God saved me, He saved me into some heavenly things. I'm glad that when I die, I'm going to inhabit heaven. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven this morning? Are you guaranteed, if you die, if you drop dead of a heart attack, are you going to heaven or hell? I'm glad that if I drop dead right now, my soul, 100% assured, my soul is going to heaven. Why? Because of what He saved me out of, what He saved me by, what He saved me for, and what He saved me into. Oh, there's a lot of assurance wrapped up in all that. Praise God. But He saved me into some heavenly things. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Boy, we could spend a lot of time there thinking about all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that are ours in Christ. But let me conclude with this. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and we're closing down. 1 John chapter 5. Bit of a different message this morning. Wasn't expository this morning. But isn't that some good truth? Amen. Praise God. It was refreshing to my soul to see that, to study that out. And I'm glad the Lord reminded me of some of those things that God saved me out of and saved me by and saved me for. But most of all, I'm glad of what He saved me into, because that's my future throughout all eternity. That's never changing. I'm never going back to Egypt. I'm not going back. So all that I've been saved into is mine for all eternity. And if you've been saved into those things, they're yours for all eternity. You know, we could wrap up everything I just said, and there's more that we've been saved into, but we could wrap up all those things that I mentioned that we've been saved into. We could wrap it all up and we conclude it all in this one verse. And we know that this 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You know, we can wrap up everything, the light, the book, the family, the inheritance, the hand, the choir, the heavenlies. We can wrap it all up by saying, I'm in Christ. When God saved me out of sin, when God saved me out of the world, when God saved me out of Egypt, He put me in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Would you like me to explain that to you, what it means? I can't. I can't explain it. I can't comprehend all what it means to be in Christ. It's just as incomprehensible as God to come down and put on man. How does God remain God but yet man? how does someone like me, how does someone like you that is still you, be in Christ? I don't understand it all, but I know I'm there. I know when God saved me out of all those things, He put me in Christ. One of the evidences of that is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm glad when God saved me out of all that He saved me out of, and He saved me in all that He saved me into, and He put me in Jesus. When He saved me into Jesus, when He put me in Christ, when He put me into His Son, He created a new creature within me. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be. But by the good grace of God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad that I can testify this morning that I'm not what I used to be because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Jesus, because of what He saved me out of and what He saved me into. Brethren, can I just remind you this morning that just like the nation of Israel, He brought them out to bring them in. And we could go further in that verse 23, to give us, He said. There's lots of things that not only are we saved into, but because we're saved into those things, there's a lot of things that are ours to possess and take a hold of. We haven't got time to expound upon all of that, but I'm glad this morning that when God saved me out of my sin, when God delivered me out of death, God delivered me out of damnation, God delivered me out of darkness, He put me in the light, He put me in His book, He put me in His family, He put me in the inheritance, He put me in the choir, He put me in His hand, He put me in the heavenlies, and all in all, He put me in Christ. You know, you think about the assurance of salvation. I know some people struggle with their assurance of salvation, whether they're really saved or not. And I've dealt with that over the years, not personally myself, but people that have struggled with that. But you just think about that. If God saved you and He put you in Jesus, it always boggles my mind that this idea that you can lose your salvation. How do you get yourself out of Jesus? How powerful do you think you are? Come on now, when God saves us, He puts us in Jesus. So how are you going to get out of Jesus? Praise God, I'm glad I'm safe and secure in the Father's hand. Glad He saved me this morning. Are you glad He saved? I'm glad I'm saved today. But I'm glad for the reminder of what I've been saved into. Boy, we forget about all those things, don't we? We have a tendency to overlook that positive of what we've been saved into, and we just focus in on the negative of what we've been saved out of. And that's all good to rejoice over. I rejoice over what He saved me out of. I'm thankful I'm not there. But boy, I can really rejoice in what He saved me into. Boy, that's a good thing.